Luke 6, verse 45. For a good man bringeth forth, no, excuse me, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Now good is agathos, and we've talked about the two differences, kakos and agathos. Whatever points to and is part of the mystery of God, the mystery of the bride, is agathos. Whatever is towards self-seeking and self-realization is kakos. Okay? Two extremes. Evil, however, where it says an evil man out of the evil tree, evil is poneros. That's where we get the word pornography. However, that's not the meaning of the word. It comes from evil, but it comes from the word ponos, which means labor, work. So the evil man is one who thinks he has something to do. He has a work for God or for anybody.
Or something he can do.
Why do you always do that?
Because I was just thinking it.
Well, it's not right.
You don't think
it has nothing to do whether God can't or can.
No.
It has to do...
He thinks he... No, man who has something to do or thinks he has something to do or thinks he can do something God can't. That's what he thinks. No. Okay.
It's just the nature of the beast. The nature of the beast is to think that labor or doing something is necessary, even if the nature of the beast is a con man who gets others to do the labor.
That would be a contractor man.
Takes unreasonable fees for doing nothing.
I resent that remark.
The point of it is, do you get the point?
Yeah.
The point is, we are to enter the rest and cease from our own labors. Evil, Pono, says we've got something to do.
And the treasure here is kind of based on what you value and where you put your value. If you put it in the fruit of your labors, which Cain did, thought it was great stuff, I'm going to give this great stuff to God because he didn't see right. So it's down to what your own concept of what treasure is.
Okay. The word, when we talk about this word evil in its normal usage, the kakos, it's bad in nature. Poneros is bad in effect. So let's look at some of let's look at that in a one verse in 1 Corinthians 5. Do you understand what I'm saying?
About what?
The two different evils.
Bad in nature and what was the other?
Let's go to 1 Corinthians 5.
Bad in effect and bad in nature. Where are we going?
1 Corinthians 5. Verse 7. Well, wait, let's go in verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, malice is kakos, wickedness is ponos. So, it's one is bad in nature, and the other is the bad in effect. Like a fig tree can only produce figs. So the fig tree, that's its purpose, that's its nature. But if you grafted a fig tree so that it produced oranges, then from the standpoint of the meaning of these words, the oranges would be evil and the tree would be evil because it's a mixed seed. You understand? Now let's look at some others. Let's look at Matthew 15. Well, let's go to Matthew 5. We've got to go to Matthew 3 times. This is just one of the Beatitudes in the 11th verse, excuse me. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. The word evil there is poneros. And just that's just the definitions. Got it? Let's go to see what it is for some. That's of speech. Let's go to Matthew 15. Since from God's standpoint, the tree is evil. The tree is fundamentally can produce nothing of value. Therefore, the human race. Therefore, whatever we do cannot have value to God. You understand that? It's the same, it's the nature of the thing. Now, in Matthew 15, it's about, well, let's just read it.
Holy, excuse me, you mean thought and deed, no matter what we do. No matter what we think.
Right, but here we go. This is what happens internally. Verse 17, do you not understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But these things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So again, that's the thoughts. By nature, the beast is kakos, so it can only produce poneros. You got it? Let's look at one more. It's interesting that poneros is used of Satan. Let's go to 1 John, which is interesting. 1 John chapter 2. It's used of not used of Satan. It's this poneros is used of your mind. Okay. And verse 13, I write unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children because you've known the Father. And remember that little children there was the one that's a teenager. The only thing that does him any good is he's known the Father in the past. Now I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Wicked one here is Poneros. Now, why it's Poneros is what? Poneros is, it's bad in character. And I mean, excuse me, Poneros is the effect of it is bad. You understand? Because the fundamental, our father, Satan, is evil. All right, that's enough time on all this.
Both of those wicked ones are Poneros, those two verses?
Yeah. All right, back to Luke. The point of all this is you cannot expect, if you, the thing that I want you to take away from this is Poneros comes from the word which means to work. That's the root word. And so it's, the only best way to think about this is anything that you have thought up to do is Poneros. It's the things, because that way the work will lead you. Our work must, we have, again, let's look at that one scripture. We should write this scripture in our head somewhere. Revelation 14. Verse 12. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. You got it, right? Anybody doesn't get it?
As opposed to their works do lead them?
That's the whole point. The human race, their works lead them.
Right.
Everybody. Believers, the works should follow them. Again, therefore, by definition, you will never have an investment in the outcome of anything you're doing. If you have an investment in the outcome of anything you're doing, you know that it's your labor, and it's become an idol. What?
Oh, thinking about the if the position of your total leprosy or your total evil or your father, the devil, if you haven't fully come to terms with that, then I guess what I'm talking is if you're good for a while and read your Bible, it would be nice, then some of these rules don't apply so much. And it's like it's how the mind is always trying to trick you into anything.
Now, is this philosophy?
Well, you be the judge on it.
Well,
I think it's the way it is. I think that's how.
Well, I know, Gary, you lose the power when you don't say it as a, if that is a confession, then it's mind-blowingly powerful to you, to God, and to the room.
Well, that's what I did.
But you didn't. I just asked you if it was a confession or a philosophy.
Well, I told you in the beginning that this is how I think.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, you missed that. And so, but that's how I see it. That's how.
Do you understand how evil that is, though?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Because it throws you into, you're just religious, trying to make a fair show of the flesh.
You're the
war sepulcher.
You're the beast with the two horns, but you still speak with the mouth of the dragon.
Yeah. And it's part of deception. The world lies in deception. It's always there trying to pull you in, pull you away, keep you from that treasure, the good treasure.
But that's why. That's why all these scriptures are about bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Take no thought for your life. Take no thought. I mean, it And again, until you know how evil that is, again, as Luther said, what your thoughts are you're taking a pole or a stick and pounding the thorns into the skull of Christ. Now, again, you have to do, you have to think. You have to run the rabbit. As I said before many times, if there wasn't any of this high place activity of their board of elders, you couldn't have learned to walk across the street. You couldn't have, you could do nothing. But you must have reached a point where you've seen the emptiness and futility of all of your mind, of all of your opinions, of all of the things that you think are right, of all the times you've been a victim in your life, dwelling on what ifs or what could be or what should be, to see the incredible evil of all that. Because everything and every aspect of it, it's not only evil from the standpoint of God, but it's total empty and fruitless from the standpoint of you. But your mind wants to always think that it has a place. That's the nature. That's why you're hardwired. That's why the only battle there is, if you want to be in the battle, is your mind.
What about feelings?
It's the same thing. Your mind is, feelings are just the molten images. Thoughts are the graven images. They're all the same thing. They're just stupid. But what you do, you hear this. And I've been preaching this since the day we began as a body. At the beginning, when I first was a new believer, I said, there's not going to be one person in the universe that believes what I just saw. Because it goes against the very nature of the beast. You're hardwired to take thought until repentance has done its perfect work. But repentance can't do its perfect work until you see with certainty the emptiness and futility of that mind and emotion. Not just that it's, you can read all day, it's an enemy of God, but until you come to the certainty that it's your enemy. That's why this Job was so important. I mean, all of the debates he had with his three friends, and the only one that sort of was standing over and saying the right things was Elihu. The other three were just nuts. But they sounded, people use those scriptures to justify, make a vow, God, blah, blah, blah. But at the end, when he'd gone through this all, everything, he said these incredible words, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself." Now, you can't come to the abandonment of self until you abhor yourself. And that means abhor every emotion, every thought, every thing you've ever thought was right is meaningless. Just meaningless dung. And it's never been your friend. So I abhor myself and I repent in sackcloth and ashes. And that produces the greatest joy there is in the universe. What?
If you abhor yourself.
Abhor, but it may detest, despise.
Then where does self-forgiveness enter?
Well, it's gone as soon as you recognize you're dead. There's no such thing as, do you think Harry is worrying about forgiving himself? If you understand that you died and baptism was your burial, go, okay, you can go forgive the dead man if you want. But you, the forgiveness, if you still resurrect it, if your thoughts continue to plague you and they continue to arise, or if you simply by your nature give breath to cause and effect, you can't resurrect a little bit of the beast. And if the beast is risen, you can't forgive the beast. You understand that? And if you can't, if you haven't reached this, you can never really forgive anyone else. You will always, at some point, be a victim.
Yeah, you forgive yourself because you don't want to be tied to it anymore. If you don't forgive, you're still tied to the dead body.
Well, you're still resurrecting the dead body.
Yeah, playing with it, thinking it'll get better, it's forgiven, and we're back in fellowship.
Yeah. Remember that there's... Remember, all men are outside the camp. And then they go through all this other stuff we won't talk about today. But then there's a trespass offering. So that's the forgiveness of things. That's the blood of Christ. Forgive us of all trespass. But the sin offering, the sin is a person. It's you. And that there's no forgiveness for the beast. That's why the beast died. People throw around the blood of Christ like it was some magic potion to get forgiveness. God's never forgiven Adam. Adam died. This garbage that's said on television is just garbage. This is so fundamental. It's Christianity 101. And yet, it can never leave you. You don't get beyond it. You're doing it.
Well, I'm just thinking how we hear these things over and over and over again, but at each time we're taken to another level of understanding, deeper and more poignant to the core. First time we hear them, it sounds pretty good. We like it. Amen.
From my standpoint, I hated it.
Yeah, well.
Because it caused my death. I used to worship my mind. I thought I was pretty smart. Had it all together.
But if you saw...
I saw its emptiness and worthlessness and futility. I saw that when I was converted.
Okay, then you should have been joyful in repenting.
No, no. No, I wanted to keep my life. And if you're honest, so do you.
Yeah, that's the nature of the beast.
Well, and that's why I did all that study.
Yeah.
If I would have found one thing or one contradiction in the Bible, I would have thrown the whole thing out. I'd have gone on with my life.
Oh, nowadays.
No, I don't have any, there's no doubt.
Right, and so repentance is a joy, not a...
Right.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
If I paid the slightest attention to my mind, you heard me say this over and over, this place is my worst nightmare.
So we hear this over and over, which we have, and yet it's still new. It's like it still goes deeper to places that have yet to be uncovered. That's what the molten and graven images keep getting.
And I understand, but I've got to tell you that two things pop up in me. One is impatience.
Impatience.
and patience. The idea that you should have understood by now. Then the second thing that pops up is especially since I was severely beaten by the head and shoulders by Carolyn and Jarsana, is repentance, when I feel that. But then the third thing that pops up is this incredible sense of what the long-suffering of the Lord really is, in both in me and in us. We all deserve to be post-toasties this instant. And until we see that, then we'll still retain a sense of a little bit of righteousness about something. And that's what the fear of God is, and that's what I pray. That's what you've heard me say this before. I encourage you to pray and ask the Father to show you what you look like to Him. And it's frightening. And you can see it also when you start studying the Scriptures. You see that you're chained to a dead, smelly, worm-eaten body. You see that you're nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. You see that yourself being right about anything you just crucified Christ again. Or thinking you're right. Or thinking you got into it, you know what to do. So basically,
we've said before, but that's the basis of horror movies.
Yeah.
You see directly that you see yourself in God's
point of view. Yeah, Harry used to hate it when I tell him that. Just see what you're afraid of? All right, take it, big guy.